Please enter the conference ID followed by. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted. All guests are currently unmuted. To mute all guests, press #. For help with host options, press *0. You will now be connected with the conference.
Hello?
Peter Yan. Yes.
Hi, Peter. Hi,
she was too.
Hi. I took the liberty of posting something to the chat room to get it started. I suppose one of the chairs might have done that.
Amanda Weisden here.
Hi.
Do we know what the source of the very loud background noise is? Or am I the only one hearing it?
There's not very loud, but there is a background noise. Someone just muted that.
There we go.
Was that Matthew?
Doug Holmes.
Oh, hi, Doug.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Christy here.
Hi, Christy.
Michael here.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Dean here.
Hey, Mike. You have 15 people on the phone bridge, 12 on the chat. So those people who are not already in the chat room, please join us there. It's also useful to, I learned this from when we had the semantic wiki series, is to put the pertinent information at the top of the page during the session. Then it makes it easier for people to find the numbers to call, where the chat room is, and so on, especially for people who are unfamiliar with the drill. But all in all, we're in good shape.
Thank you, Peter, for all your helping us get a handle on all of this.
Yes, we're trying to do as much as we can, and there's still an awful lot you're doing. It's amazing.
Right. Leo is there, right? Leo? On the phone yet? No, he's in chat. I guess when Leo comes on board, we can consider starting.
Meanwhile, if the folks want to start downloading the slides, if you haven't already, unless you're going to follow along on VNC, we can make sure that we don't have any hiccups in slide posting as well.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes.
John.
Oh, the sound just went dead. I didn't know.
I think there was somebody meeting a noisy line.
Okay.
Now we feel uncomfortable. Are you there, Leo?
Leo can't find the admin password.
Oh, Don't worry. Ooh.
I can't seem to locate the slides. The wiki page says slides are above, but I don't seem to see a link.
You'll see people's names who are speaking highlighted in blue. And if you click on each of those, their slide set will come down to you. If you're sensible, you'll open them in a new new tab.
Okay, thanks.
Slides. I'll make a post to the slides.
There.
Oops. Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. This is Leo.
Hi, Leo. Welcome.
Yeah. I couldn't find the admin. I got back to my desk here 5 minutes early and tried to call in, and I was on hold. Whoever called in as admin, thank you. Probably Peter.
I did, but Ken.
Okay,
Ken might have.
Well, anyways, I guess we should get started. I don't know where folks are here. Let's see.
We're just making sure people can get the slides since we.
It's probably best to download if you can't see them. And we have enough to ask the echo.
Yeah, we will, or someone will, mute the lines when we're ready to start.
Yeah.
Okay. And apparently we have some extraterrestrial attendance today. we should...
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Mike that it may be Dalek.
do you want me to mute the lines in case I don't know if Ken is in call in with the Ken. I'll mute the lines and from now on you need to do *7 to unmute. Okay, lines are muted, and we can start anytime.
Okay, can you hear me, Peter?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And I am unmuted as well.
I can hear you.
Yeah, my mute instructions are at the same place as the admin password. So.
*7 is easy enough. We've done it a million times.
Yeah. Okay. If we're ready.
Looks like we are.
I think we are.
Okay. Let's see. Let's get started then. Welcome, folks. This is the session entitled Ontolog Going Forward, sometimes known as Ontolog Phase 2, the beginning. It's Thursday, June 26, 2014. And what we're going to do today is to present the new Ontolog Board of Trustees and provide some discussion, pointers and discussion concerning the phase two of Ontolog, given that Peter Yim will be retiring. And so there's new structure that's going in. What I'd like to do is, if you can bring up the slides under chair, then I will go through that. If you have problems getting the slides, please try downloading them yourself onto your local machine if you can't see. Okay. Amanda Wisdom and I are the session co-chairs. If you look at slide two of today's agenda, we want to basically introduce the Ontolog Board of Trustees and our initial tasks and current structure. Amanda will lead a discussion then on the terms of reference, defining what the Board of Trustees for Ontolog is about. Then we'll have each of the Board of Trustee members individually present his or her version of the vision and plans for the future of Ontolog. Then we'll open the discussion more generally to all the participants today. Please weigh in, and if you have questions or comments, add to the chat room, please. Next slide is slide three. Why do we have an Ontolog Board of Trustees? Well, basically, Ontolog is changing. This is phase two. Peter has provided the infrastructure and administration for Ontolog since its founding in 2002. For which we're appreciative, Peter, for your great service to our community. But he's retiring this month. Therefore, things will change starting today, but definitely starting in July and going forward. So currently we have the following Board of Trustees members, Amanda Wisdom, Ed Barkmeyer, Ken Bukowski, Mark Musen, Michael Gruninger, Mike Dean, Till Masakowski, Barry Smith, John Soa, myself, Matthew West, Mike Bennett, Pat Hayes, and as an ex officio member is Peter Yim. Slide four. We've identified as our critical tasks as the Board of Trustees and really then for the community, the Ontolog community, initially at least to put together an infrastructure to carry on the Ontolog activities, to adopt this high-level terms of reference for how the Board of Trustees will provide governance and structure, which Amanda will go over. Then, of course, the debut of the trustees to the community, which is basically today's session. And then to plan activities and events for the rest of 2014. Based on that, we will need your input. So we'll have follow-on sessions to discuss activities and events. So we're counting on you, really, to the community to help us make Ontolog Phase 2 an even greater community of practice. Slide 5. We've identified basically the components of infrastructure here. This is a relatively short list, but I think it's inclusive. First of all, the Ontolog Wiki has now moved to the Purple Semantic Media Wiki. But we're still considering hosting issues and for both the wiki and the file space. Typically, in the past, the file space has been using cloud storage, but Peter Yim has supported that and things such as web dev servers. So it's still questionable. We're still trying to figure out exactly how we're going to support this. So we're considering both cloud and donated hosting. And for example, the file space for cloud is approximately $5 to $10 per month. And then other folks, mostly from universities, have stepped forward to offer some support for donated support for backup and hosting. That includes Ken Buklowski, Northeastern University, Till Moskowski, University of Magdeburg, Michael Gruninger, University of Toronto, and Mark Musen, Stanford University. So we're not sure exactly how that's going to sort out yet. Secondly, the Ontolog forum list. So Peter has committed to continue to host the mailing list and the historic archives. So you will not see much change there, at least in the near-term future. So we appreciate that, Peter. The Ontolog Conference Bridge Service, today's service is the same as it's been, but we're considering changes. So, for example, in the past, Peter has funded this. So the current service, which is this ITS2 conference service, it's approximately $67.97 a month. And it depends on the number of callers. So a ballpark figure is usually considered around $900,000per year. And as you know, this is callable from Skype. But we also know that there's other services available. And so one of the things that it's on our agenda as a board of trustees is to in some relationship to IAOA, to figure out the best conference service going forward, whether we retain the current conference bridge service or not. We'll need to support something. And IAOA currently is proposing to fund and host this. Trying to get that covered kind of outside of our normal budget. Michael Gruninger and I are, and perhaps others on the call, are members of the EC, and we're trying to provide, get IAOA to provide funding for the conference bridge service. Let's see. Finally, the Ontolog virtual sessions. If you go to slide 6, we also need folks to assist us in administration and operation. So we really need volunteers to step up and help us assume some of the administrative and operational duties that Peter performed. And really what we'd like is small teams, if you will, for some of these tasks to provide redundancy, backup, collaborative effort. This includes, of course, the Ontolog wiki hosting and file space admin support. Currently, Ken Buklowski has stepped forward, but we're looking for others. If you're interested in these kinds of activities, please do volunteer and let us know in the chat, but also as we go forward. I see David is suggesting asking for how to volunteer. Well, you can volunteer now in the chat room. We can also have organize perhaps some sessions for those who are interested in volunteering and maybe go over some of the activities that are involved in administration, backup, operational support. The Ontolog forum list, even though Peter is supporting the mail list, issues that require support, like new membership and list subscriptions, other maintenance routines, has to be done by somebody. And so far, Matthew West has volunteered to assist on these tasks, and of course, we really want other volunteers for this. The Ontolog Bridge Service, there's aspects to that that will require some support, but it remains to be seen what we decide. So, for example, if there's an administrator for for sessions that we have currently, and I expect there'll be things such as that. So there'll be other types of administration operation required depending upon what we choose. So you may be interested in volunteering for that. And now the Ontolog virtual sessions, really we expect that proposed session chairs will largely, perhaps in along with some of the support teams that emerge, will assist in maintaining the conference page, the particular session page, and of course coordinate with the other volunteers for their services to send out announcements, really to structure the content. So most of this is the way it currently exists, where the chairs of particular sessions manage the content and provide service to the community to organize the session. Christy Kapp has volunteered to handle audio and chat transcript post-processing, at least for this session, Christy, and what we hope is that you would step up for this for other sessions too. So please do let us know. We don't want to presume, but we would like your assistance. And others. Just kind of rule of thumb, the bottom bullet here is that the production maintenance for a particular session, for example, of Ontolog virtual sessions, if it's a two-hour meeting, it really takes about 8 hours of pre-work, if you will, to set everything up, both to set up things in advance and to organize and to post-process the products that arise from the session. So, you know, this is a large effort for one person, but split among the community, we're hoping that you know, we can distribute this effort. Okay, what I'd like to do next is just, if you look back at the agenda slide, on slide two, I'd like to hand this off to Amanda, who will step through the terms of reference and describe what's involved in this so that we can have this later discussion. Amanda, you may be muted.
I can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. the rather than having separate slides for the terms of reference, you'll know the link in on the event page goes to the wiki page for the Board of Trustees and hopefully to the section on terms of reference. So if everyone would go there, the purpose of the terms of reference is essentially to outline the purpose and the responsibilities and manner of operating of the Board of Trustees and how it interacts with the community at large. We did not want to go, you know, with extremely formal bylaws and so forth and so on, but we want to have enough clarity and accountability to make sure that we're heading in the right direction. So, terms of reference, the beginning statement just gives the overall purpose for having these in the first place. The Board of Trustees will hold the place of being of representing the vision and providing the highest level executive leadership and an ultimate decision-making body for the whole community of practice. By ultimate decision-making body, that doesn't mean everything has to go through the board. And that'll become clearer as we go through it. So the purpose section, three items here, keeping it simple. First, to ensure that Ontolog stays focused on its mission and principles as described in the Ontolog Charter. Now, I did not put a link to the charter there. If you go to the, if you look at the wiki homepage, if you haven't seen the charter before, look at the wiki homepage for Ontolog. I believe the charter is right near the top there. I'm about to put a link in chat. Charter is incredibly short, right? Ontolog is an open international virtual community of practice whose membership will, and you can read the rest. So the purpose of the Board of Trustees is to ensure that that Ontolog stays focused on the mission and principles described in that charter. Another purpose is to ensure that the community is thriving, succeeding, and contributing to progress in those areas. So being sort of an active monitoring group responsible for seeing how well Ontolog is doing at that and taking some steps if it's not doing well. And finally, to support Ontolog as an effective, open, independent, and collaborative knowledge building and knowledge sharing community. So this is more characterizing the type of community we want Ontolog to be rather than what Ontolog is about, right? So the Board of Trustees also has the purpose of addressing that. Responsibilities. We're now at purple number 1I3 on the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees page. Responsibilities and. Please, if anybody, if you have a question as I'm going through these individually, feel free to raise your hand or ask a question. But the first responsibility is to serve as as a resource for the more specific groups that are working on particular activities. So sort of stay in the background, but be there as a active guidance and help. Second is to prioritize what Ondalag is doing. So people come up with lots of ideas for things that we could do, where those compete. The board will be a fallback for deciding where to put the effort. To undertake strategic planning, and review. So keeping track of what Ondalag is doing and how it's doing and where it's going, and do the strategic planning to help it go where we want it to go. Point four addresses what I was saying before, what I was alluding to before in the prior section. As the ultimate decision-making body, what that means is not that everything is decided by the board, but rather that the board is a decision-making body of last resort. So when decisions are required in the process of other Ondalag activities or the community's sort of self-shaping, self-management, and they can't be achieved by consensus or by the specified process for some activity, the board is a fallback to make those decisions. And the board has a responsibility to meet regularly and do all of those things. Organizationally, we're now at 1I4. The board is a flat structure. There's no enduring chair. Authority and responsibility for some specific task or issue may be delegated by the board to somebody specific. In general, all are equal. And the normal decision process will be consensus, but where that's not going to happen, any trustee present in a board of trustees meeting can call for a vote. And as I said, there's no chair of the board, but there are chairs for board meetings, and the chair of any given meeting will have the deciding vote if there is otherwise a tie. So what about these meetings? Section I'm sorry, 1I5. There's no fixed frequency for the meeting. At minimum, they'll be at least once every 6 months. We expect them to be more frequent than that. Each Board of Trustees meeting will have a chair and a scribe, possibly additional roles if needed, and those will be rotating. So when I referred to the chair of the meeting, that's what I'm talking about. And there's details given here about how the rotation works and under what conditions it may be broken. I won't go through those in detail. I think you can read them, and they probably don't need extra explanation unless someone has a question. The composition of the board, it is composed of active participants in Ondalag, 5 to 25 of them, depending on what the community needs are at the moment. Each trustee should be somebody with a demonstrated commitment to Ondalag, and with a willingness and ability to commit this kind of time and effort and some role in at least one operational sort of activity as well. So how is the board selected? Well, formatting error in this section. In this particular case, for this inaugural board, this is an exception to what should be the normal rule. The normal rule is given in item 2 under selection, with typically trustees will be nominated by any member of Ondalag, nomination endorsed by at least 8 other members of onto log and then reviewed and, if approved, appointed by the current board. Well, we don't have a current board yet, and we're just moving to this. So for this inaugural board, the co-conveners of Ontolog phase one invited a set of members that they thought met these criteria and those who felt that they could do it were then selected to the board. Duration of service is covered under 1I8. Terms will normally be 4 years with an expectation of a year off after that, rather than, so additional terms are possible, but not normally consecutively. Though there can be atypical terms based on special needs, if a, now 4 years is a long time and people's ability to meet the responsibilities of being a trustee can certainly vary over that time. Trustees who find themselves in that position can resign. Trustees who get into that position and may not be realizing it can be brought to account and removed if necessary by the rest of the board. So we should not have trustees retiring from duties in place. Next section at 1I9, relationship to Ontolog activities. So it bears repeating that the Board of Trustees is not running everything that Ontolog does, right? The specific operations and specific sessions and mini-series and summits and so on will have their own groups of people responsible for them. Typically, there'll be probably a board member involved, at least the larger ones of those. But the board will be there to support those individual groups and to oversee that everything that needs to be covered by somebody is being covered. Section 1I10 deals with conflicts of interest. It's worth emphasizing that each board member is there as an individual, not as a representative of any other organization they may be part of. That is exactly the same as Ontolog membership and participation in general, but especially worth emphasizing for the board. And there are terms there addressing what happens if there appears to be a conflict of interest and how trustees may be recused or may disclose uncertain potential conflicts. And finally, in 1I11, the terms of reference can be changed at any time by the board. However, that has to go through a general membership review first, with the decision being ultimately the board's. So that is the entirety of the terms of reference. Does anybody have some particular comments or questions on this before we move on to first the individual member introductions and then the general discussion?
You may be muted, so star 7.
Yeah, or raise your hand in chat if you have something. Okay. Well, perhaps people may be digesting this and have more to say after they've heard from individuals and we get to the general Q&A. So why don't we go ahead with the individual introductions, Leo?
Okay, thank you, Amanda. We'll discuss this after these introductions. We'll follow the order of folks here on the conference page. So our first speaker will be Matthew West. Matthew, start.
Hi, Leo. Yeah. Yes. Hi, Leo. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you.
Okay. Then I'll just get straight on with it. We've got a few of these to get through. So if you look at slide one, background and vision, and we'll move straight to slide two. Who am I? My background is actually in chemical engineering. I did a BSc and PhD at Leeds University. 30 years with Shell, and I'm now a director of Information Junction. I spent 25 plus years in information management with particular interests in data quality, data modeling, master and reference data, enterprise architecture, and data management maturity. 15 plus years in standards development, including involvement in developing ISO 15926, which is an integration data model and reference data library for oil and gas and process plant. ISO 18876, which is about integration architecture. ISO 10303, which is exchange of engineering data, particularly CAD data. And ISO 8000, which is data quality. And amongst other things, I'm on the policy and planning committee for ISO TC184SC4, which is the subcommittee that's responsible for developing all those standards and others. I've been a visiting professor at Leeds University, and I chair the Industrial Advisory Board there for the School of Computing. And I'm an industrial assessor for the British Computing Society for course accreditation for universities in the UK. And I'm the author of Developing High Quality Data Models. Slide three. My interests in ontology are mostly with upper ontologies, i.e. sort of the ontology of everything. This arises from my interest in integration of data from different sources, which was a large part of what I was doing in both Shell and in standard development. I'm particularly interested in four-dimensionalism, possible worlds, and set theory as elements of an upper ontology. I'm less interested in logics and languages. For me, they're tools. They're important, of course, but you're not going to find me sounding off on those subjects. And as I've already said, integration rather than reasoning has been, or natural language processing has been my core focus. So slide four, vision for Ontolog. I don't really have a direction that I want to drag Ontolog off into. My primary concern is to see a safe transition to a new management structure and infrastructure. It's only really now that we're beginning to understand just how much Peter has been doing for us all, I think. I mean, most of us have known that he's been doing a lot, but when you get into the detail and you try to transfer that to other people, it really comes across just how much he's been doing. I'm keen that we pursue the Ontolog mission and that we perhaps find new ways to pursue that mission. But beyond that, I'm pretty open about what that turns out to be. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. Amanda, if you'd like to present your background and personal vision.
Okay. Give everyone a second to pull up my four slides. Oops. Well, while I do so as well. So slide one, just the usual, who I am. Slide two. My slide two is a little cluttered because I'm a generalist in a number of ways, it's a bit hard to describe what that means without some detail. Currently, my means of work is as a partner in Critical Lab, which is a consultancy. My academic background is in philosophy, particularly in epistemology, and how this connects to applied formal ontology, besides having done a lot of concept analysis and formal logic, is that my doctoral work was actually in the area of how context, social and otherwise, affect evidential reasoning and what people come to believe and don't believe. And I got into formal ontology when a little AI company some of you will have heard of called PsyCorp was looking for somebody to work on overhauling the representation of belief and reasoning contexts. So I've been working as an applied formal ontologist for over 15 years, and people often ask me what kind of applications I work on or what domain I work in, and they expect an answer like, oh, you know, bioontologies or, you know, finance or something like this. And in fact, I'm intentionally a generalist. I am extremely interested in how the ontology agrees, the ontology needs change depending on what you're doing, who you're doing it for, and what you're covering. So there's just a sampling of some of the application types that I've worked with, which have involved many different requirement sets, and some of the domains that I've worked in representing. And in particular, for most of that work, even while working within a particular domain, the context was such that this knowledge needed to be findable and usable by people in another domain. So the cross-community knowledge is sort of my special interest. And as you might guess from that variety of things I've worked on, I've worked in a good number of different languages and environments and systems. And you'll hear me comment from time to time about things that aren't available in any of the open standard languages or tools that we have now that are commonly available in proprietary systems. And that gap is something I think we need to close or come very close to closing. We need to catch up in the open standard world to what's possible. Slide three, what are my special interests in ontology? As I just mentioned, cross-context, cross-community information sharing, collaborative knowledge development and decision support, technological systems that complement rather than replace the information processing that humans do well, and again, semantic technologies that are used to real benefit for information availability and reliability. Most of the projects that I've worked on, especially in recent years, are, you know, they're often data integration or quality projects, but they're there for a critical reason because there's some enterprise or public critical need for availability and reliability and interoperation that's not being met. So those are especially of interest to me. And the last bullet is an area where I think the Ontolog is possibly the only going concern that could really help us make the steps that we need to toward well-founded, evidence-based, requirement-sensitive, reliable ontology methodologies. And I'll leave that where it is. Slide four, my vision for Ontolog, absolutely first point is safe transition, right? We have a thing going and we want to, it to not drop off a cliff. and this is more of a challenge than you might think. Very importantly, I also want to see us take the opportunity. This is not just an avoidance of disaster. This is an opportunity. We have to make a lot of changes now. While we're doing that, we can revise how we're doing things, what we're doing, look at technology, that's available now that wasn't before, and, see what we can do to make Ontolog even better. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, good. Thank you, Amanda. Michael Gruninger, next, if you'd like to present your view.
Thanks, Neil. Okay, so if everyone has the slide up, we'll just move quickly to slide two. Just as a bit of background on my part, I am currently an associate professor in the Department of Mechanical and Industrial Engineering at the University of Toronto, and I'm also currently serving as president of the International Association for Ontology and its Applications, IAOA, which is supporting a lot of efforts in applied ontology, in particular the flagship conference, FOIS, Formal Ontology and Information Systems, which will be happening in Brazil in September. I've been working in the area of applied ontologies for over 20 years now, starting out with some aspects of ontology development methodologies. The notion of competency questions was one of my earlier pieces of work. More recently, I've been looking at ontology verification. Some other work I've been doing in the past look more at ontology design. So I was involved with the process specification language, PSL, ontology, and as a result of that, worked on the first edition of Common Logic, both of these being ISO standards. If we move to slide three, right now, currently, I'm interested in particularly ontology repositories. So there's the Common Logic Ontology Repository that we host here in Toronto. That's a focus of a lot of work where we design, evaluate, and study relationships between ontologies. We currently have about 1,300 ontologies in Common Logic there. I do a lot of work with ontology-based standards. So I mentioned PSL and Common Logic, and right now we're working on the second edition of Common Logic. And just other kinds of ontology-based standards. And finally, just other aspects of ontology design, most recently looking at kind of the design of more rigorous design for mid-level ontologies that are kind of intermediate between the upper ontologies that Matthew mentioned and some of the more domain-specific ones. I should just move to slide four, the vision for Ontolog, I guess, from my perspective. I really think Ontolog is a unique community that crosses industry, academia, and government. It's a really dynamic mix of people from many different backgrounds, many different viewpoints, and this makes it quite exciting. The other thing, too, is that the Ontology Forum, the Thursday virtual sessions that the people may have participated in the past, also is kind of an interesting output of this community. And it really provides a kind of a comprehensive body of knowledge for the applied ontology community. So, you know, we haven't really gotten around to pulling things together in forms of things like textbooks and handbooks and things like that. But many of the sessions that we have had in the past, or the past, I guess, almost 10 years, because they're recorded and archived, I've actually used these as a really valuable supplement to my ontology course lectures. If I can't get somebody as a guest speaker to be here physically, there's a good chance that maybe they gave a talk at one of the Thursday sessions, the virtual sessions. And that would be very much in line with what they would, say, be giving a talk about. And I could just download that. And then that can serve as kind of a way of launching a lot of discussions within class. The other interesting thing about these recorded sessions, too, is they range in terms of how they cover a particular topic. So there have been different things that are almost like tutorials and basic topics, all the way up to, you know, in-depth coverage of a lot of cutting-edge research. And so there's a lot of variety within this kind of content. And so you can kind of, I've been able to tailor it both to undergraduate and graduate courses. So it's been quite successful in those ways. So I really think that ensuring the long-term survivability of this forum, and particularly, I kind of place more emphasis on these virtual sessions, is a key priority to be able to maintain the body of knowledge that has been produced over the past 10 years, but also to ensure that this body of knowledge continues to grow and evolve. And so, as Leo mentioned at the beginning, I kind of want to, one of my key objectives is to seek community input for future sessions and miniseries. So there have been a few miniseries in the past year that have kind of continued, and one in particular was a miniseries on ontology-based standards. I mentioned that in my previous slide as one of my interests. And so this was a mini-series we started in the fall. It went on hiatus during the time of the Ontology Summit, but we have some sessions that kind of get sort of planned out, some speakers and things like that. So that will be one of the key things that we try to accomplish sometime in the period of September through December. But, you know, we're looking for this kind of community input. When people talk about mini-series, again, typically they're talking about some kind of theme and having an extended set of sessions along those themes. So there, in addition to the ontology-based standards mini-series last year, we also had the rules and reasoning mini-series. We looked at like logic programming and other kinds of reasoning tools that people are using with ontologies. And there have been many other sorts of these kind of mini-series. But we also have many just kind of one-off sessions. Like I said, if you wanted to, you know, kind of get a experience, a tutorial about a particular topic, we can, you know, people can hopefully enlist and engage people who would be able to give those tutorials in our Thursday sessions. And also, as Leo and Amanda mentioned, that these sessions will really be run by the community. The kind of role of the Board of Trustees is mainly kind of serving as a kind of steering committee, kind of coordinating and scheduling, helping to schedule and manage the schedule of all of these different sessions. Because hopefully this will be a nice contentious resource that people really be excited about providing content for these sessions, and we'll have a nice long waiting list for everything. But that about wraps it up from my perspective. Hopefully get some other suggestions for future sessions and the input discussion phase of the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Mike Dean, would you like to present now?
Yes, let's go to slide two. So I'm Mike Dean. I'm a principal scientist at what is now Raytheon BBN Technologies, where I've worked for 30 years. Currently, I'm out on medical leave. I've been working with the Semantic Web and ontology since the start of the DAML program in 2000. That was really the program that catalyzed the Semantic Web. Recent work has basically included data integration, rules, and geospatial semantics. And I'm a co-convener with Peter and Leo of the Open Ontology Repository Initiative, which is another effort that has benefited significantly from collaboration with Autolog. And there's a pointer to my homepage down at the bottom there. Let's go to slide three. In terms of Autolog present, I'd like to thank Peter, Leo, and really the whole community for getting us to where we are today, which I view really as a thriving community of practice. There's sort of activities, including the regular Thursday seminar series and support for other, the Anthology Summit and other community activities there. There's also infrastructure in place, including the active email lists, the wiki, which includes audio archives of other seminar series and other things, and then the teleconference services that are used to support the seminar series and other activities. Moving to slide four, in terms of activities, hopefully I think people are looking for more of the same. As Michael Gruninger noted, you know, we need to start lining up speakers and series for this next session. In terms of infrastructure, there is some need now to migrate some of the active services. Peter Yim has graciously offered to continue to support some of the archives. In the process of doing this, there's the potential to modernize some of those, as Amanda and others have alluded to. The Football Semantic Media Wiki work that Ken McCloskey has done, you know, is a good example of that. I think, though, in looking at some of the, you know, particularly some of the shared slide and audio services, you know, we realize that some of these options are more expensive than what we've been paying to date, and really that Peter has been covering for us all to date, and that you know, we do need to consider the cost of the services themselves. And I think in doing so, there's also a benefit to continuing to focus on open non-proprietary solutions. So that's the end of my slides. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Ken McCloskey now, present your views, please.
Hi. So if you go to slide two of my my presentation here. So I'm an associate professor of computer science at Northeastern University. I've been involved in metadata databases and then later formal ontologies for quite a few years. I actually started working on metadata back in 1970. I've done a lot of high performance work as a pioneer of big data since my work in 1983, and developed a high performance distributed indexing technique for knowledge bases in 1994. That's still pretty heavily used in the industry. And I was part of the DAML program along with Mike Dean when that started. I actually am a co-author of an introductory textbook on ontologies. And so I've been, you know, pretty active in the area. But specifically for today, I've been supervising the development of the Purple Semantic Media Wiki that was developed by my students, and with the assistance of Peter Yim and many others from the Ontolog community. So I'll talk a little more about that later, and active in the Open Ontology Repository. I've just more recently started working on standards development, and specifically the standard for collaborative and social networking systems. And I do research in all kinds of areas of data semantics. Give a list of some of these on slide two. On slide three, as you've heard already, there's we now have this community infrastructure, which was recently transitioned to Purple Semantic Media Wiki. We also have a repository that includes the archive and many other files. So that's also very important. And we have the Conference Bridge service. The mailing list and the forum, which actually is very active. Then on slide four, so what is my vision here for the future? Well, I've been involved in the development of Purposematic Media Wiki, as you know, and supervising it and developing it for many years. And the hope is to continue adding semantics to all of the services that we currently have in our infrastructure, not just the wiki, but hopefully also the repository. And so I would hope that we would continue these current activities and perhaps even expand them. And in particular, what I'd like to do, what I'd like to see, is having us move to new communities of practice. This infrastructure that we're developing is just ideally suited for collaborative work by virtually any community. And I think that it would be great to start having other communities also use this. We actually do have many communities right now in the geospatial community, among many others, that are currently using the same infrastructure that we're using. So I think it would be great to do that. I'm currently doing research with my students in developing this whole infrastructure even more for things like collaborative development of standards, you know, kind of a computer-aided standards development system, which could also be used for the development of ontologies. And the other aspects of this, of course, is that we need to develop, we need to have a continue the development of the conference bridge service to get support for it. And on the chat room, I also talked about how we need to have kind of organize the volunteers and to capture what Peter has been doing over these years, the kind of procedures he's been following, the conventions, so that we don't lose this as he's retiring. And I think that it'd be good if we try to, you know, try to capture this, try to make sure that all of our volunteers meet and we get some experience with the system as soon as possible. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ken. Mike Bennett, next. Mike.
Hi there. So my name's Mike Bennett. That takes care of slide one. So on to slide two, please. So my background is a bit thin compared to some. I'm the originator and editor of a thing called the Financial Industry Business Ontology, or FIBO, which is getting a lot of interest in the financial industry. Before that, and how I got into that, is my background. I'm originally an electronic engineer. I've worked for years in industry, in industrial process and quality and project management and so on. I've been in the finance industry since the mid-90s. I've worked on a number of financial industry standards, including ISO 20022, NDVL, and so on. And in the course of doing that, I came to the realization that we needed to have some kind of business-facing conceptual representation of the concepts that all these technical people are busy stuffing directly into physical models in those standards. And so that's where I came up with the idea of something which would implement knowledge representation principles using the semantic web, using web ontology language, to create a conceptual model for financial industry concepts. At the time, I didn't quite realize what I was walking into, because we've had to bring together the principles of knowledge representation. So most of what I've used in FIBO, I learned from reading John Seller's book. And in my own background, I've often followed some of the artificial intelligence and those kind of debates anyway, and bringing those principles to bear to create this thing. And I have to say, the Ontolog Forum was really a significant part in my own development in being able to do that, and encouragement from folks in the forum to pull together these different kinds of things and refining the approach to semantics that we've been using in FIBO. Slide three, please. So my interest really has come into focus through that exercise is bringing together knowledge representation principles and the semantic web reasoning type of technology stack, applying semantic models in real world business applications, both in terms of conventional technology as a means of integration and cross reference, and also the use of semantic technologies to deliver new kinds of functionality. So I'm very focused on that business application side of things, if you like, while staying very clear on the nature of a conceptual model within that. Very interested in reuse across ontologies, so in order to create an ontology that really encapsulated the meanings of things as distinct from a standalone semantic web application, we had to look across a lot of different cross-domain ontology sources and so on, and I think there's a lot to still be developed and thought about in that, which I'm very interested in. I'm also interested to see this idea of a conceptual or business-facing model being framed and presented to business for validation, not being limited to just first order logic or OWL, and not being stuck in different silos for business process and higher orders of logic and maths and so on, but really having something, some tooling, some methodology and so on that pulls all that together and really firms up what we have as conceptual models for industrial application. Very interested, of course, in the business-facing presentation of conceptual semantics, because otherwise, how do you know it's right? Yeah, it again comes back to methodology, and therefore, of course, also interested in methodology as a whole, ontology quality measures, ontology evaluation metrics, a lot of things have come up in recent summits and so on, getting a clearer methodological distinction between the different uses and different styles of ontology and tying all that together. Slide four, please. So what's my vision for ontolog then? Well, I hope here I'm not saying anything new or taking ontolog into different directions, but restating a lot of what I see ontolog as and what it has been to me and the way it's helped me to develop the work that I've been doing. So first and foremost, I see it as a center of excellence for all things semantic. It is one of the few places that brings together those different traditions that I think are so important when you bring them together. So there's a lot of knowledge representation folks here, a lot of folks with expertise in semantic web, linked data, big data to some extent. So my vision is to try and continue that ability to be a center of excellence that brings all those things together. Am I being controversial here when I say a sort of virtual university? To me, that's what it feels like sometimes. For somebody new to semantic technology or semantic web, as I was many years ago now, being able to access knowledge and expertise, the help one gets from people both on the mailer and in the sessions and so on. I wonder, echoing Ken's point, that we have a great venue here for virtual events that we've been running, and perhaps there's opportunities for exploring how we can provide that venue to others with a mutual interest in that. And I think as part of that, access to knowledge and best practice and so on, we've got a lot of very high-value items that have been created by ontolog over the years. Michael mentioned some of those. I wonder if we could develop something like a community library. We've used one in one of the previous summits. And also, we think about how we can create a quicker or better access to the high-value items that have been delivered by ontolog, create a nice way for people to find the kind of resources that they need, and essentially create a point of reference for what is the state of the art in the methodology for ontology development, in those ontology evaluation type of techniques, in reusable semantics generally, and all of these methodological principles, which are really still coming into focus for many of us, that apply the best of knowledge representation thinking and the best of the semantic web type of functionality. And another, again, this is what's already there, the high-value email discussion. I know some folks, perhaps unfairly, stay away because of what is perceived as a certain amount of noise or distracting things. I think that personally the moderation has been very good, but this is something that's easily underestimated. We do need to moderate the email discussions and ensure that everybody always knows that this is a high-value discussion resource that they can go to for advice and insights and so on. And I'm more than happy to be one of the people that can perhaps do some light but firm moderation duties not on my own because I'm often away for a week at a time and I have a lot of other time pressures, but I think it's important that we look after that as a resource. And so overall, this vision is, you know, a single place people can come, get advice, get encouragement. I had a lot of encouragement. How do we make that happen for people who are coming along and trying to solve problems and so on? And really just having a really good public place for what is an excellent resource. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Folks, I'll go next, followed by John Soa. So if you go to slide two, a little bit about my background. My PhD is in linguistics with a focus in semantics. You'll see that I've worked a number of different companies, some large, some small, some more researchy. My first introduction to ontologies probably back at MCC, Elaine Rich's Natural Language Project, where we use psych. At that time, we had difficulties with it. So I'm basically been working as a computational linguist and AI / computer scientist for many years, and since around 1995 as an ontologist when I was at Boeing, and to the present day. As a AI scientist, I do programming mostly in Common Lisp and Prolog, though I've done everything from COBOL, Fortran, Pascal, C, Java, Perl, Python in the past. I was director of a commercial ontology department at VerticalNet in 1999. I think we were the first commercial ontology department. It was a .com that .bombed, and I returned to MITRE. I also worked on the Web Ontology Working Group that developed OWL, so I accept responsibility for OWL if blame is to be passed around. But I think it's also of value to us, and we use it every day in our ontologizing and for our sponsors and government customers. I've been a member of the Executive Council of the International Association for Ontology and its application since the beginning. I have wide interests and mostly what you'd expect, knowledge representation, ontology engineering, logic, etc. Slide three. My current work is on event-based ontology representation, really kind of semantics and ontology for natural language processing and predictive analytics using events. Also, ontology representation and rule reasoning, specific domains. We're starting out again in financial compliance and analytics, and soon electronic healthcare records. We supported the logic programming on ontologies and rule reasoning sessions last year, and we hope to restart those, as Michael mentioned earlier. But also knowledge compilation optimization techniques. I think one way to get real traction is to have efficient rule reasoning for applications, and in many cases that requires less expressivity modification from your input ontology representation language to other techniques that enable you to index better and perhaps do bit inference, bit-based inference. Also, logic programming in general, and more recently, transforming and linking vocabularies in ontologies. It's increasingly more important that you have vocabularies interacting with ontologies. Slide four, vision here. Initially, of course, provide continuity and stability, but also transformation to our current community of practice. We want really new products, new ways of doing things, new people brought in. Almost all the speakers so far have mentioned that this is a chance for Ontolog to update itself and to use newer technology for a number of items of interest to us and to expand really what Ontolog is all about. So I'd also like to see outreach beyond our USA and Europe. It's going to be difficult to do that simply because of different time zones, but I would like people to think about, you know, how we could do that to get wider coverage across the world. I'm suggesting multiple secretariats, but it's secretariats without secretaries or secretary generals. It's basically foci, if you will, groups that are focused on specific tasks, aspects, events, products. It could be, you know, administrative operational secretariat, for example, or, you know, content-based secretariat or group. I'm hoping that the members here will help us flesh that notion out and, as a community of practice, a democratic and open community of practice, and then, you know, go beyond current Ontology Summit products, such as books, for example. Okay, thank you. John Soa will present next. John? *7 if you're muted. John, maybe your own phone is muted. John, we can't hear you.
Is that hello?
Okay, yes, now we can.
Okay, fine. Okay, basically, I agree with everything that has been discussed so far. And in particular, I want to talk about the possibility of using the newer technologies and wikis and bringing in much more than just our Ontolog group, but also open it up to a lot of other areas. And this ties in with some of the points that Ken and Mike and Leo have just been mentioning. Now, for a bit of history, before Ontolog, there were several other projects that were going on that starting in the early 1990s. There was the SRKB project for shared reusable knowledge bases, and that has a number of the core people from that have continued on and still participate in Ontolog. The projects that came out of that include KIF, KQML, and Common Logic. And another project is the IEEE SUO project for a standard upper ontology. Now, that never resulted in a standard, but it did lead to several projects, including SUMO. And both of those had a large number of people participating by email, and a large percentage of them have migrated over to Ontolog and still form the core of people with a strong background in the field. And then, of course, we all are thankful to Peter Yim for his contributions and maintaining Ontolog forum and archives with over 1,000 subscribers. And the fact that all these people are willing to accept all this input to their mailboxes on a daily basis means that Peter and the people who have participated have been doing something right. Now, there's also wikis, workshops, and telecons, which we would also like to continue and develop further. Now, the question is, how can we build on this foundation? What are our goals for the future, and what organization will help? Now, one of the things that I suggested, and Ken also in an offline note said was supported, was that we want to have more than just the Ontolog wiki, and it would be very helpful if we could link to a large number of other related groups. And this also ties in with Mike was talking about having a general kind of a university for semantics. And that one point about an email group is that it keeps bringing itself to everybody's attention, because every time a note comes in, it pops up in every subscriber's mailbox, whereas a wiki requires a conscious decision to visit. And if all we have is a wiki, you really need a critical mass that brings people to that source on a daily basis so that they can discover all the new stuff. Now, one of the things that that I want to point out is that there are email lists on AI, various multiple email lists, natural language processing, corpora lists, various cognitive sciences applications. There are conference series on many related subjects, and for all of those conferences, there are email lists and wikis and websites. There are all kinds of blogs and wikis and so on, and it would be very helpful if we could bring all of them together in some kind of a coalition. Now, the idea would be that each group in its coalition would maintain and have responsibility for its own domain. However, all of them would share a kind of a what's new page. In other words, we could have a common one point to go to find out what's new on all of the wikis, and also tie it in not just with the wikis, also tie it in with various email archives, tie it in with all these various conferences that are going on, and so that there would be one point to go to for everything related to semantics, whether it's a natural language, expert systems, the semantic web, semantic technology, the commercial systems, as well as the open access and free systems. There's a rule-based systems and all these. Bring them all together so that subscribers to one wiki would be able to move to others. And we could have something like a common logon. Now, I don't think we want a logon that would enable people, that would be so strong that it would enable hackers to hack in. But you could say that if somebody logs on to one of these wikis, they would have privileges to at least add to or post messages on the others, even though they wouldn't have the rights to modify things outside their own domain. So we could have in each domain, we could have higher levels of protection so that for modifying and erasing and deleting. On the other hand, you would have the option of going to one wiki, finding what's new on all the others, and then be able to move on to these others and be able to have threads of discussions that are on one thread, on one either in a wiki or in an email discussion, and have a continuation and linking to threads and discussions on the others. Now, this is still in a very preliminary stage, and Mike Ken has said that with their work, they do want to explore new ideas. One possibility is to explore the idea of linking multiple wikis that use totally different technologies and still have a common way of sharing. And one of the thing is that there are many, many, many different wiki technologies that are pioneering new methods. So we really would like to be able to share with multiple different technologies. So when somebody invents a new method, a new technique, a new way of using a wiki, that the others can benefit from it, even if they don't yet support it on their wiki version that they have on their current system. Now, all of this, of course, requires a lot more exploration, a lot more ideas, but I think that we should begin to think of going beyond just ontolog, but bringing in anything related to semantics, AI, the semantic web, the natural language, and all these other versions. That's basically my point.
Thank you, John. Till Masakowski next. Till?
Yeah, thank you, Leo.
Thank you.
Slide two. So my background, actually, I haven't put my affiliation here. So I'm a professor of theoretical computer science at Magdeburg University. My background is logic and formal methods for software engineering, but From this, I have moved to modular and heterogeneous ontologies, and also, yeah, structured theories and kind of proof calculi, also at the structuring logic independent level. I have initiated the heterogeneous tool set, which allows reasoning for various languages, and currently is, I think, the most advanced tool for common logic, for example, but also supports OWL and other logics. I'm the chairman of the OMG standard ontology model and specification integration and interoperability onto IOP. Within this standard, we developed the distributed ontology model and specification language DOL, which basically is not yet another ontology language, but is kind of a meta language for structuring ontologies and relating them to, for example, alignments. And I also have initiated the web platforms ontohub.org and, yeah, in preparation is modelhub.org and spechub.org for models and specifications, but here ontohub.org is, of course, the most important thing. Now, slide three, not quite a vision, but some ideas for Ontolog. So I appreciate that there are many discussions for Ontolog, and this has been previously mentioned by many speakers, that there is a great archive of sessions and mini sessions and so on, and Michael has told us that they are very, very valuable even for teaching. But when looking at the wiki, also at the new Purple Semantic Media wiki, it's still not the case that you can easily find things there. And so I wonder whether we could have something like a Wikipedia, but just for ontologies. So of course, yeah, Wikipedia uses the same or nearly the same software. So Semantic Media Wiki is of course based on Media Wiki, but I more mean the some of the organizing principles of Wikipedia. So for example, I have tried some notions like upper ontology or alignment and searched them there and found nothing very significant. And in Wikipedia, you have a page for that, and then you would have, so of course, you not necessarily have that for all our specialized notions, but then you could have such wiki pages and then a link to relevant sessions, and therefore kind of provide a more structured entrance to all this material that is there in the wiki. Another idea I just developed was, could we take Stack Exchange and ask them whether they would add some ontology chapter? So because this is a discussion forum, but it's the most structured and most helpful discussion forum that I know, and you have many different subjects like Stack Overflow for system admins, but you have also Math Exchange there for mathematical things, and yeah, why not onto Exchange? Okay, and I'm particularly interested in the Open Ontology repository that has already been mentioned, and that is somehow meant as a repository, a network of different ontologies. And this should be put more into practice. And there are various repositories listed at the OR page. OntoHub is the first step to make things more interoperable at the tool level, but then the question that also has been discussed many times at OR is this relation of different upper ontologies, that you really have not just a common upper ontology, but at least a kind of common network of upper ontologies. I think that would be very helpful. And a recent question also related to the organization of all this knowledge that we have there at Ontolog, at the material, is how to categorize ontologies or also maybe wiki pages using an ontology or just tagging. So there are different approaches there. And as an ontology community, we, of course, should more use an ontology just than a foxonomy or some tag. set, but on the other hand, tagging is more top-down and from the actual users, and I think this is an interesting debate. Okay, yeah, thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Till. Okay, folks, what we'd like to do now is shift to a general discussion, question and answer period. Amanda and I will kind of monitor the conversations and the discussion. If you would like to make a comment or ask a question about anything that we've covered today, mostly focused, of course, on Ontolog Phase 2 and the terms of reference. But if you can raise your hand in chat, then we can kind of do this in a fairly orderly process. If you had a question in chat you raised, you may want to mention it now and see what the response is. So let's open the discussion. Do people have questions or comments about the terms of reference, for example? We want to make sure that the community is behind us. And the beginning is always is harder until the community understands and embraces the change.
Well, the discussions that are, you know, those are people who are putting forward in chat, you know, or have put forward during the various presentations, please, you know, raise your hand in chat and comment on the voice too if you have thoughts on that.
Perhaps it's a lot of okay, Mike. Mike Bennett, unmute, perhaps. Mike, we can't hear you.
Damn, I did the dial 7 and forgot the local. Sorry.
Okay.
So, yeah, a lot of interesting ideas in the chat. So, yeah, I thought I'd come clean and come out and speak instead of just lurking. So, I think, firstly, I think what Till was just describing in slide 3, you know, cross-domain ontologies, conceptual sets of ontologies that refer to each other and so on, this is something we've needed for our work and have had to kind of create provisional sets of concepts while looking for, you know, what are the ontologies that everybody knows everybody else can use. And I think one of the major challenges in that, or the kind of challenges we unearthed in this year's Ontology Summit in terms of being able to evaluate ontologies created for different purposes and so on. So I just wondered, you know, out of all the things that are out there, like the OMG and W3C and so on, all doing an excellent job at the, dare I say, syntactical side of things, but what about the concepts? Is it too ambitious to think this is something that Ontolog should consider taking on or having a crack at or not?
So, Mike, let me stress that this is not my idea that has been developed in the OR community already and discussed there. So, yeah, but I agree.
Yeah, I've been
interesting to pursue this.
Dipping into the OR, and I know there's a lot of being able to search across ontologies and so on, but the actual active cross-reference side, I know we've discussed it in OR a few times. Maybe that's the home for it, but I just thought I'd put it up there.
This is Amanda. I'll toss in that I think that is a very good potential area of activity for ontolog, especially as I really don't see any of the existing standard communities being able to handle it. I think it's both too specialized and more generally like software than anyone realized.
Yeah, it's interesting to dive down into the software.
and everyone just about who attempts sort of a private take on it, this is where the nature of ontolog as something between chaos and order or that's not really what I mean, but you know what I mean. This is so valuable here because we need the combined experiences of a lot of people who've been working on things from different angles brought together in a way that is likely to produce insight in order to make headway on this. So I firmly believe that this would be a good area.
So actually this jumps straight into the next bit of conversation that was exploding on the chat, which was in response to John Sower's ideas about a sort of web of interoperable wikis or clearinghouse of knowledge, if you like, but it's, you know, maybe ontolog has a role along with OOR and others in providing the, you know, the visible front end to this is where to go for the usable ontology, but here are the people doing the work and, you know, getting these different communities of practice networks and these resources networks and so on.
One thing I would like to see is many of these things that we've been talking about, including these specific areas of activity and the infrastructure possibilities that I'm talking about, would benefit from identified sort of interest groups that may turn into something like, I hate to use the word committee because, obviously, but groups that are especially pursuing these areas within their interest. And I think that one of them that many of us are interested in is standards for even describing ontologies,
right?
To make appropriate ones findable. So that would be, you know, something that could be a mini series or a special activity of some sort.
That's an ontology. I don't have to say it.
Yeah, and I just want to remind folks that really this is your community. This is, you know, ontolog is yours. It's an open community of practice, and really it goes where you want us to go. The Board of Trustees, we're just kind of looking over, but it's the membership that drives the whole organization, such as it is. And, you know, the future is defined by you, really. Michael.
Just to get concrete as well. I mentioned that there was at least one mini-series from last year, which still has some talks scheduled. And so that'll be one of the things we'll have to kind of revisit, particularly since there's such a long hiatus over the Ontology Summit period, to actually schedule those talks. I think there were four left in the Ontology-Based Standards mini-series. Do people remember, were there any other mini-series that kind of were in the air that, you know, but hadn't actually crystallized?
Well, Michael, we talked about extending the ontology rule reasoning logic programming series. We haven't organized anything, but that's a possibility.
Right. But those are the two, right?
Yeah.
And they were kind of left unfinished, so to speak.
Yep.
So I guess I would also, again, just reiterate what I was saying earlier, just to invite everyone. This is a fantastic opportunity to provide some ideas on what would you like to see, either in terms of a mini series, which would, you know, again, be like, say, at least three or more sessions. They don't have to be kind of contiguous. I mean, you can have, I think, like the ontology-based standards mini series kind of stretched over 4 months. So, you know, you could have like a talk a month or whatever, but a mini series has kind of some kind of thematic unity. You know, if there'd be ones that people would like to see. And also, you know, that if you propose an idea that, you know, also think about being one of the organizers. So, in a way, similar to what happens with a summit, but, you know, if you have an idea for a particular topic for a mini series or a individual session, to kind of take lead in identifying speakers, deciding on the format, you know, whether you want panel, whether you want straight presentations, and kind of taking the lead on doing that kind of planning. So I don't know if any people had ideas for additional sessions. I know based on some of the discussion here, we might have some mini series on ontology mapping. You know, ontology relationships mapping, that sort of thing. You know, yeah, upper ontologies, where are they now? You know, something like that.
Well, what we want to have soon too is, you know, planning session, one of these Thursday virtual sessions where we try to lay out some of our views and what we want to do this year. So your input, you know, now and, you know, in the future will be value to these sessions. Any other comments? Ken?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think I mentioned this on the chat, is it would be good to have a kind of volunteers group, you know, a way of managing the volunteers and their responsibilities, because I can see there are a number of people that would like to volunteer to do specific activities, or, you know, at least to do something for the group. And, you know, without some sort of volunteer management, you know, those individuals might just end up not doing anything. I've been involved in other organizations, like ACM, for example, where they also do this kind of thing rather actively. So what do you think it would be nice, say, to have a Thursday session or some sort of session where we talk about these issues, the procedures, the conventions, you know, parcel out different kinds of responsibilities to people.
Yeah, I think that would be a real good idea, probably fairly soon, too, yeah. Even though it's the summer and we don't necessarily have everyone participating, at least we can bring all the folks who are interested in volunteering together to see what tasks there are and how things are working, at least now, and perhaps which way we should go in the future.
You know, it'd be good to have volunteers that would not only do things as they're done now, but also, you know, try to find other ways that we could be doing things.
Yeah,
I can see there's a discussion about the going to, you know, forum software.
Yeah,
Amanda.
Yeah, I was just going to say I strongly agree with that, and I had mentioned in the chat that I think, you know, that's a good example of it. People looking at the actual infrastructure that we use for our continuous, you know, asynchronous communication. There are so many things to consider. And having a group of people, not only there could be two overlapping groups, people who are willing to volunteer to help get and keep things running with our existing stuff as long as we're using it, and people who are willing to work as a group to assess what we might do and what would be required to do that would be really great.
What would be a good day to do that?
Well, I think it would be best to have, if interested parties, you know, can identify themselves on the chat, and we can facilitate getting communication going between those parties.
Next week is actually open, the 3rd. If people might be, I don't know if people would be available on the 3rd.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Some may be going early on a 4th of July in the U.S. Holiday, but the sooner the better, I think.
Those who suggested that they could volunteer on the chat, is there a feeling about this?
Is July 3rd a good time?
Is it July 3rd a good time? Other if it's not, the 3rd is not good, then the next time would be the 17th.
For a group session, but we don't. I don't think that we need to use. We don't need to be restricted to our synchronous sessions to get these things going. I think that, for example, to start them going, maybe something that we on the board or could do is look at this chat, initiate a conversation with the people who volunteered. And sort of try to organize a first for any, for any particular subject area or task. Try and get that rolling off without requiring a new session, even if it's.
I was thinking more of just a kind of kickoff session, and then it would be asynchronous after that. But we could certainly do it that way too.
We could do a doodle poll from the people who volunteered on infrastructure and see when they can meet. I don't think it needs to be.
Yes, and in any case, we should post a notice about this to the Ontolog Forum.
Yes.
To gather interest from others who couldn't participate today.
Mm. All right. Well, I'll set up a doodle poll then, and see what we can do.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Any other comments? Questions or comments? Suggestions? Well, my final comment would be to just to thank Peter Yim for his work through the years. We're finally realizing exactly how much work was involved, and we express our appreciation, Peter.
Thank you, Leo, and everyone. It's been a real honor and obviously a pleasure too. Otherwise, it wouldn't have lasted for 12 years. Thank you.
Okay, well, maybe we're at our finish here. what I suggest is, you know, post information to the chat if you're interested in volunteering and or follow on email. We want to make sure that folks have a chance to participate, and also we welcome your ideas for this phase two of Ontolog for the future. I thank all the Board of Trustee members and Amanda that could participate. And if there are no final comments, then we'll wrap this up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.